Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of September the 23rd, 2024. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. On this episode, we'll have a rundown of what happened at this week's City Council meeting and an interview with City Clerk Krista Power about the City Council Composition Review Committee. We'll hear what the group has done this year and where we're headed in just a couple of minutes. But first, Council passed two resolutions that came out of closed session regarding labor relations. The resolutions give administration the go-ahead to negotiate contracts with a couple different unions that worked throughout city operations. As well, the cemetery bylaw, which was supposed to be presented last night, was deferred until later this year, and that's at the request of administration. The mid-year safety update was presented to Council on Monday night, highlighting the number of safety issues involving city staff over the first half of the year. 255 incidents were reported during that time, of which 96 were reportable to the WSIB. 55 were lost time injuries, meaning that employees were off work. The top three types of injuries were exposure or stress, exposure, and overexertion or strain. There were also 48 reports of violence in the workplace, with half of them coming from city EMS staff. Three properties were vested on Monday night for having unpaid taxes. One property on 112th Street will be vested and retained by the city. It will be consolidated with other city-owned land for future purposes. Two other pieces of property, a home on Amelia Street West and the former Oddfellows lot on May Street South, will be vested and then put up for sale. Between the three properties, about $900,000 is owed in taxes. Now, more than half of that is from the Oddfellows Hall property on South May Street, which also has cleanup and demolition fees tacked onto the amount owing, and that's after the building caught on fire in 2020. As well, Council approved about $80,000 in tax changes throughout the city. The changes are for when the value of a property changes due to items like fire or demolition. The amount owing for those properties is brought forward to Council for approval. City Council approved some changes to the City Manager bylaw at its meeting this week. The bylaw sets out the duties and responsibilities of the position, which hadn't been updated for nearly 30 years. Some of the changes include directing the City Manager to liaise with groups outside of the corporation. That includes First Nations, other government departments, and to work towards reconciliation. It also details that the position cannot encroach on the legislative duties of statutory officers, such as the city clerk. The new bylaw also allows the city manager to demote, suspend, or dismiss general managers. Previously, approval and direction was needed from city council. It also includes providing council with recommendations for wage increases for non-union and non-affiliated staff. The city manager would also direct collective bargaining with unions. In the new bylaw, the city manager can move up to $500,000 between departments without council approval, as long as the money is already budgeted. It also allows the position to make reorganizational changes to the city without council approval. However, council does approve what are deemed major changes. The regular review of the city's structure to improve efficiency is also included in the new bylaw. As well, the city manager can also create new positions as long as they're within budget. It would also give the position more power to create policies for the city. While council would set an overarching policy statement, the manager would develop, approve, and implement the policies themselves. To help build more homes in Thunder Bay, housing grant applications are now available on the city's website. If you're a homeowner looking to add additional units like basement suites or backyard homes, or a developer looking to build multi-unit housing, then these grants are for you. Apply today at buildthunderbay.ca. The municipal accommodation tax in Thunder Bay will go up as of January 1st to 5%. The increase from the current 4% will bring in an additional $750,000 per year. Half of that money goes to the city, while the other half goes to the Community Economic Development Commission's Tourism Department to fund tourism projects. The Thunder Bay Hotel Association, the CEDC, and the Chamber of Commerce are all in favor of the increase. The tax has brought in a total of more than $12 million from 2018 to 2023, and it also earns interest. 9 communities in Ontario will or have increased their MAT tax over the past few years, and that ranges from anywhere from 3.5% to 6%. The report from administration says it is working with a third party to collect MAT tax from short-term rentals available through services like Airbnb, VRBO, and other online platforms. Currently, the MAT tax should be remitted by these property owners, but it isn't. Administration estimates collecting revenue from these online services and properties would bring in between $110,000 and $220,000 per year. City Council got an update this week on the work of the Council Composition Review Committee. The group is tasked with looking at how the composition of City Council could change for the 2026 election. It includes potentially changing the size of council, ward boundaries, and how people are represented in Thunder Bay. Committee Chair Rebecca Johnson and Vice Chair Cody Fraser made the presentation to council, highlighting what they heard from the public during Phase 1 consultation. The group now moves into Phase 2, asking for specific feedback on the options proposed for council. That includes an all-at-large council of 10 councillors plus a mayor, or a hybrid system of 8 ward councillors and 4 wards, with 2 at-large councillors and a mayor. Public consultation on those options will take place this fall. We'll hear more about the Council Composition Review Committee, when City Clerk Krista Power joins me in the studio in just a couple of minutes. Some changes are coming to reserve funds in Thunder Bay. On Monday, Council approved the creation of 2 new reserve funds. One is the Recreation and Culture Capital Reserve Fund, the other the Thunder Bay Community Tennis Center Capital Reserve Fund. The Recreation Capital Fund will eliminate the need for specific reserve and trust funds and provide more flexibility in what the funds can be used for. It will be built out of the Fort William Stadium Reserve Fund, Community Centers Reserve Fund, and Art in Public Places Reserve Fund. The Recreation Capital Fund is designed to help leverage funding for large projects and to better address planned and unplanned capital needs. The bylaw amendment for all of these changes to reserve funds will be presented on October the 28th. Council got its first look at the Boulevard Garden bylaw on Monday night. The bylaw would allow for boulevards, which are city property, to be used as gardens. Currently, that is not permitted. Stakeholder feedback has already been collected. One item of contention is a registration system, with the Licensing and Enforcement Division wanting property owners to register their gardens, while all stakeholders told administration they were not in favor of a registration system. There would also be height restrictions with the bylaw, allowing plants up to 60 centimeters in height, and also allow food to be grown. But there would be bans on some specific plants, and not allow for hard items like planter boxes on the boulevard. Public feedback will also be collected in the fall before a final draft of the bylaw is approved. That's on October the 28th. Work has been underway on the Boulevard Garden bylaw since June of 2022. Council ratified its decision from last week regarding the James Whalen tugboat with an amendment. Council approved sending out a request for proposals, which involves dismantling and recycling some of the boat. Pieces of the boat could be preserved depending on the cost of preservation and dismantling. The amendment, which was approved last night, includes recycling the tug and preserving select pieces, with administration reporting back at a later date on a potential display for the items. How this is different from what was approved last week is that administration will report back on a potential display site, and it will not commit to a display site, which was in the original resolution. This brings down the cost from administration's original recommendation by about $200,000, as it does not include the cost of a permanent display installation, as the pieces will remain in storage. And finally, Council handed out a number of Citizens of Outstanding Achievement Awards on Monday night. Lori Adamson was recognized as a community champion for their volunteer work in supporting the Early Childcare Network, Stouts and Beavers, as well as Spirit of Dance, and for their role in the inception of Our Kids Count. Ellen Nichols was recognized for her achievement as an alpine ski racer. The Societe Principe de Piemont's Ladies Auxiliary was recognized as a community champion for their work since 1970. And 5 women, Heidi, Erin, Caroline, Yvette, and Carolyn, known as the Hair Salon Volunteers, were recognized as community champions. The women assist residents at Hogarth Riverview Manor Long-Term Care Home to make it to their hair appointments. Congratulations to all of the recipients. And that's a wrap as to what happened at Council this week. For more information on anything that happens at Council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. Thunder Bay is unique in many ways. One of them that you probably don't think of is how our city council is made up. We have ward councillors and at-large councillors sitting around the same table, and we're the only municipality in Ontario to have that. But what is the best way to represent people in Thunder Bay? A committee, the City Council Composition Review Committee, was formed late last year to determine the best size and composition of Thunder Bay City Council. Now on Monday, that committee updated City Council on their work to date and where they're going in the future. Krista Power is the city clerk here in Thunder Bay, and she's helping guide the committee through the many decisions that it has to make on how voters can best be represented here in our city. Krista, thanks for joining me in the Minute Studio.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the obvious. Why are we even looking at this?
One of the reasons we're looking at this is because we haven't for a great number of years. So City Council has been the same since 1985. We've had some changes since 1970 when the city was formed, but we haven't had a review of the current ward boundaries or the current composition, how council is made up.
So we haven't had any changes since 1985. I don't want to say how old I am, but that's...
It's a long time.
It's getting close to... to a certain date of
yes.
mine. So what are we comprised of right now for people who don't know?
Certainly. So right now what we're comprised of is 13 members, one mayor, five at-large members of council, which means they're elected by everyone in the city, and seven ward councillors. So each one of those councillors is elected by the people in their ward, which is a defined geographic boundary.
And if we look at all the other municipalities in Ontario, how are we different than everyone else?
Well, we're different, as you noted, in the sense that we're a hybrid, right? We're a bit of a Prius, so to speak. Again, we have at-large and ward councillors on the same council. Most councils are either fully at-large or fully ward. Some ward systems have more than one representative per ward.
So we are the anomaly because we have at-large and ward. That's our big difference.
Yes, that's correct.
And the only one in Ontario.
That's correct. Right. 443.
That's very cool. So we're talking about the committee, though. And the committee went to council last night talking about what they've been doing and what they've called phase one. So I guess there's two phases to what they're doing?
Yes. So phase one was an education opportunity to talk to individuals in the community about what they would see themselves best represented by city council. What did they think of the ward system? What did they think of the at-large representation, the current ward that they live in, and how they communicate and connect with city council and local government city services. So we did that work. We collected that data. We also reviewed comparator municipalities, so cities over 85,000, similar to the city of Thunder Bay, offering similar services, did a compare and contrast, and we've come up with some recommendations.
And you know, the one thing that we always hear is that council's too big. You know, when I worked in media, we heard that all the time. Council's too big here. Are we really that much bigger than other municipalities?
No, we're really not bigger. That our comparator is 11. Again, if you would compare us to other municipalities of our size in our comparator group, the average is 11. But there are many municipalities that have less population than the city of Thunder Bay and a higher number of members of council.
So on that per capita basis,
we're pretty average.
We're pretty average. Okay. You talked about what was happening in phase one. What happens in phase two?
So in phase two, what we have is two recommendations that will come forward to the community for their feedback. So two options for people to provide their feedback on and tell us what they think so that data can be collated, put together, and then the committee can decide if they want to present one of those options or something else to City Council as a final recommendation in advance of the 2026 municipal election.
And what are those two options that the committee's decided on?
So option number one is a ward system with four wards, two members of council elected per ward, and two at-large members, so still a hybrid system, always one mayor because that is required. The second option is, again, 11 members, but 10 members elected at-large, so by the entire city.
So hybrid, but smaller, all at-large, again, a bit smaller.
Yes.
How do we come up with these options?
So really what we did was we looked at ward boundaries first. What ward boundaries would make sense for the city of Thunder Bay? One of the things we talked about is equitable representation. Our current wards do not have an equal number of people in them. So you have ward councillors being elected by 3,000 people versus 10 or 11,000 people. Is that equitable across the city? Could we have wards that have equal or closer to equal populations? That's where we came up with the four wards. The other piece as well was looking at how City of Thunder Bay is built again, from the country to the waterfront. And there are different issues in rural areas versus the industrial areas, residential areas, and the waterfront. So trying to make sure that each ward had a piece of that. So if you look at our new ward map as an option, again, every ward councillor would have waterfront, industrial, residential, and rural in their ward.
How hard was it to come from what we have, which is seven wards right now? And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with that map to what we see today. Because the first time I saw this when we put it online, I went, that's different.
It is very different. And one of the things I would say is that we had many options within our internal team in looking at mapping. And we took the direction from the committee very seriously, which was what is equitable representation. So in these four wards that we've proposed, essentially what the committee is looking at is equal population or close to equal population, equal number of median households, economic drivers within the community, the number of households, all of those sorts of pieces, as well as representation from minority communities and the Indigenous community. Each one of these wards has between 11 and 15% of their population that is defined as Indigenous. So that's important.
Yeah, and those are, like, there's going to be a fair amount of complexity to take all those factors and then come up with a map and draw the line somewhere, right?
Yes, and I will say that when we drew the map in other ways, whether it be 10 wards, 7 wards, we had a really hard time, again, finding those equal deliverables in each of those wards. We'd end up with a ward that was a very affluent ward versus a ward of a lower socioeconomic level, or again end up with a population of 10,000 versus 30,000, and a geographic boundary that didn't make sense, where you divide the middle of what is a classic neighborhood in the city of Thunder Bay, like Current River, West Fort.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You don't want to split those right down the middle, right?
Exactly.
I know that, I know you're obviously most familiar with Thunder Bay and what we do here, but is this something that other municipalities do on a semi-regular basis, is go through the composition of the council?
I wouldn't say it's something that's done regularly. I would say it's a significantly large project. We have followed other projects, the city of Guelph, the city of Sault Ste. Marie, other communities that have done this work, and it hasn't always been successful as well. We've also watched communities do reviews and then in the end not make any change.
So that is a possibility, I guess, for this project as well.
Yes. So the final decision does sit with City Council. A bylaw is required, and information is required to be sent to the minister, again, for approval. If there is a change to our ward system, there's also an appeal process available as well.
So I guess, we're a little ways from this going to council, but what are the kind of immediate next steps and what should people be looking out for?
So in October and November, the committee is going to be going out to the community. They'll be present at most of the ward meetings. You would have heard that at City Council last evening. They're also going to be holding some events at the Thunder Bay Public Library, as well as having an online survey. We're also going to be doing pop-ups, Thunder Bay 55 Plus, other locations across the city. So we really want to talk to people and hear what they think. We want to give them some more information and help inform them so they can tell us what their opinion is, and we can bring that information back to the committee and to council.
Okay, so we're going to get all this information, bring it back to the committee, then what happens from there?
So the committee would make a recommendation to City Council, and it would be up to City Council to approve that recommendation, and then for me to bring forward the appropriate bylaw in order to enact that change.
And we'll have to have this all done by the next election, obviously.
Yes, so actually a bylaw has to be passed prior to January 1st, 2026, in order for there to be a change for the 2026 election. So it needs to happen in 2025.
Okay, well, we've got a year and a bit, Krista. Not to remind you of that timeline, I'm sure you know that already, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Krista, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
That is Krista Power. She is the city clerk here in Thunder Bay, and she joined me today in the Minute Studio. And a big thanks for listening to The Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or minutes, just visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, visit thunderbay.ca/theminutes. You can also find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. It's thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. We'll chat again in 2 weeks. Make it a great day.